Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We're coming to you live from the Quicken Loans studios. A lot of talent around here. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. So don't forget a couple things. To get the I Am Scott Farrell app in the App Store free, the I Am Scott Farrell app. I think you'll dig it. Don't forget, we put a podcast out after every show on Twitter, at OnTheBenchCBS and at Scott Farrell. And you got at Carver High CBS, at On Air Mafia, at ILC Podcast. His show is live February 24th in Manhattan at the Offside Tavern on 14th Street at 6 p.m. Eastern. Come see them talk hockey, B-Comp, and your boy Carver High. Carver High, who loves to drink beer. He will drink with you at 7 o'clock after the show and watch the Islanders and Devils. He will be drinking with you all week next week in Las Vegas. Cold beers for everybody at the View Bar. Wait till you get a load of this place. It won't be the same without our boy, Brent.
Brent, yeah. I'm going to miss him. He was awesome last time.
I wonder what happened to him. He took his game to the next level, huh?
That dude could take the cap off a beer bottle with, like, a rag. Like, it was unbelievable. That guy.
It was unbelievable.
He had strong game.
Like, he could snap it off of a bottle.
Right.
That's unbelievable. Who's got more game, that guy or Blackjack with his spinning balls?
Probably Blackjack.
Probably Blackjack. All right. I told you the story last week. He broke my he gave me a concussion and snapped my thumb back, sprained my thumb. Didn't look like the sprained thumb helped me out. Who do you think did better with a thumb injury this weekend, Mafia? Me on Saturday and Sunday balling or Tom Brady on Sunday?
You did well, but he's going to the Super Bowl, so Tom Brady.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks a lot for your support. I appreciate that. The NBC said previously that Bob Costas would host the Super Bowl. Now they're not using him at all.
Gee, I wonder why.
He conveys he's okay with this. He said, Dan and Liam have done the job hosting NFL on NBC all season. It wouldn't be right for me to parachute in and host the Super Bowl. Why do you think it is? NBC says it's not using him and instead using Liam McHugh as the other host on the Super Bowl besides Dan Patrick because McHugh worked the NFL season and Costas didn't. Hard to believe that. Like, why do you think he's not? Because he slammed the NFL
yes,
before.
Yes, he said something about it recently within the last 6 to 12 months.
It destroys about, people's brains.
Right. So they don't want him involved with that.
So the Eagles like being underdogs. Well, they're going to be underdogs. They're already 5.5-point dogs. They showed in the AFC Championship why they're the hardest team in the NFL to beat, right? Can you imagine if this game, if Carson Wentz was playing, how the line would probably be 2.5 or 3?
Yeah, I think it would be down a couple points. But didn't that guy
play? Do you
think
he's upset that he, I mean, because obviously he's upset he's injured and not playing. But did you think he was enjoying his other colleagues' happiness?
I mean,
did it look like he was having fun yesterday?
It definitely came off that way watching on TV. I mean, he was going bananas every time the Eagles scored. I mean, he genuinely looked like he was happy for Nick Foles. Obviously, he's not happy. He's not playing in the game, but he's obviously pumped for his teammates, and he sure looked like he was into it.
He beat the Jaguars without Julian Edelman, Dante Hightower, and Rob Gronkowski didn't play the second half. And, of course, remember the 2 weeks ago, the report that the guy from ESPN came out with that the Kraft, Brady, and Belichick all hated each other and that there was dysfunction in the organization and they couldn't deal with each other anymore. Looks like that's going well for, what's the guy's name, Seth, the guy that wrote the article? I mean, he did a great job, right? A long article, got a lot of attention, Wickersham. Congratulations. It looks like their relationship is just horrible, especially after going to getting another Lamar Hunt trophy and going to another Super Bowl. They look like they're really at each other's throats yesterday, winning another AFC crown. I don't know the guy, so no offense to him. I'm not trying to bash him or anything. I'm just saying, remember the article that was going to destroy the team, right? It was going to destroy him? How about Long? Chris Long and LeGarrette Blount, they both played on the Patriots last year, right, and won a Super Bowl? So now they're playing on the enemy. How did you think? I thought Blunt looked great in that Eagles game.
I thought him and Ajayi both looked really good, and they need that in when they play the Patriots in 2 weeks.
Have
they
you noticed
both of them?
But have you noticed already, like, everything, another Super Bowl win, a slam dunk for the Patriots? Everything is about the Patriots.
But this is exactly everything. This is exactly what fed the Eagles the last 2 weeks, is all this stuff. This is it. This whole week was about the – well, first of all, we barely talked about the Eagle-Viking game. Nobody wanted to talk about the game. Everything was about Brady and the Pats. But when we did talk about the Eagle-Viking game, what did we talk about? The Vikings. We didn't talk about the – nobody cared about the Eagles.
We did.
I'm just saying, I took the Eagles to win outright.
And we sat there all week laughing at people.
The buzz about the game.
I will say this. No one called us at all. Maybe one or two people. I said this yesterday on Twitter. Did I not say this? I literally said basically no one called this show a gigantic national show. No one at all. Did they? On one hand, I can count the number of people that called about the Eagles last week. Seriously, did we not have zero activity from Philly?
Completely true.
That's unbelievable to me. But they won the game. I think they have great fans. And
a few of them are ruining it for everybody else.
I guess. So the Patriots are 159-15 when they have a positive turnover differential, including the playoffs. But yesterday, didn't they fumble the ball away? That should have cost them the game. The Patriots are the first team with 10 Super Bowl appearances. So what's the deal? Is it Brady and Belichick with 8 apiece? They've been in 8 of them. They're 5-4 in the previous 9. The Steelers, Cowboys, Broncos are tied for the second most appearances at 8 apiece. So obviously, the one reason that people have to know about Philly is they can rush 4 hardcore and drop 7. They have a really tough defense. You got to remember they held the Falcons to 10, and they held Minnesota to 7, and Minnesota scored a 75-yard drive, their opening drive, and they never sniffed it the rest of the way. Never sniffed it at all. In my opinion, they never sniffed it. So I'm seeing everyone here, literally no one, one or two people at best so far that I've seen, that, and all these people think they're so important, all these experts that they call so-called experts, are all predicting the Patriots win. Literally. I haven't seen, like, one person maybe today in 24 hours say the Eagles are going to win. How bad is it when you have to have riot police before the game? That's when you know you got problems with your fans, when they have riot police out with batons, kicking people's ass and taking names before the game. That's how you know you got drunk, out-of-control, idiot fans, when you can't even party and maintain, like, a level of any kind of, like, just handle yourself. Like, handle your bearings. Like, control your shack. Control yourself. Why is it that did you see that parking lot before the game? Like, they can't even maintain their shack. Like, they can't even just party and barbecue or drink without getting inebriated and falling over and hurling and getting in fist fights. Like, it is unbelievable. And I saw chicks literally, like, strip shows, right? Strip tease shows on top of cars. Like, are you kidding me? Like, you guys are repulsive. It really is repulsive. Did you not? Like, I'm the coolest dude ever. Like, I don't care. I'm sitting there watching going, this is hilarious. Are you watching this? I'm like, this is craziness. Look at how wild they are. It's cool. I'm cool with it. But you are complete imbeciles. Are they not? Am I wrong? Like, I watched it. I'm like, God, the game, they haven't even played the game yet. And they're, like, ready. They were ready for war. I mean, like, I honestly think they would have killed someone if they had the chance. I think they would have killed, stabbed, shot, or stepped on someone's skull, stomped someone's skull in that parking lot. They were throwing full beer cans at people's heads that were in Vikings colors. Like, remember the people warned them, don't go there. Don't go to that stadium unless you want to get hurt. And sure enough, all you had to do was be a Viking fan, and they were throwing stuff at you. It's not a safe place. Like, they're fans. They have to stop acting like, and that owner, the best fans in the world, they're the craziest, wildest, drunkest, meanest, felonious fans in the world is what they are.
I mean, the city was going around and greasing up poles before the game so that they couldn't climb on them.
I know.
And they still climbed on them.
They're, and you know what? when you do stuff like that, great preparedness, I get it. But all it is inviting them to do it, right? Here, we're going to do this, so you can't do it. They're going to do it anyway. We're going to do this. We're going to bring riot police in. What do? They punch the horses. People getting, is it really worth it going to an NFL game and leaving in handcuffs and a bloody face? Is it really worth it? Is it really worth it when you go cheer for your team and you're so drunk you end up naked in a prison? Is it not? Does it not make you look like the biggest idiot ever?
If they win the Super Bowl, you have to bring the National Guard?
I mean, without a doubt. Without a doubt, they're going to have a massive, gigantic, enormous police presence if they win it. If they win it, I mean, I would think they'll destroy the city, without a doubt. I mean, without even a hesitation, they'll destroy everything in sight. I mean, they better go down there and protect that Liberty Bell and the famous places in Philadelphia. They'll destroy everything. They're nuts. I mean, they're not even, like, human. Are they? Am I wrong? I mean, have you ever seen anything like it? Tell me anything you've ever seen like it. What was it, Vancouver, when they burned their own town down? Like, how stupid are you? And they do this stuff at all these colleges, too, when they win. These idiots burn couches and tip cars over and set them on fire. How much of a moron do you have to be? I guarantee you, if you do that when you're 20 years old, whatever, you'll never, I mean, you'll be 60 talking about how much of a moron you were. I remember when I used to tip over cars and set them on fire when I was a kid. You got to be a loser, right? Like, you just got to be a loser. I never did anything like that. I partied. That was it. I maintained my shack. Game over. Chicks dig me. I never became an imbecile. Like, end up in prison doing what? Setting fires? Looting? Burning? Well, I mean, what are you? What kind of an imbecile are you? I mean, I can't even believe that they won the game that well. They looked fantastic. They blew them out, and it was a thing of beauty what they did to them, right? The way they kicked the Vikings' ass was just phenomenal. It was beautiful. But all we talk about is, am I wrong, that they were talking about was the drunk guy that ran into the pole in the subway, and then the lubed-up street posts, and the guy with the bloody face that punched the horse, and then the riot police, and they're worried about the city burning down. When you win a game, you can't even control your faculties, and that's the story. The lead story is the violence of the fans and not how great Nick Foles did in the Eagles' defense.
I know you mentioned, too, like how badly they kicked their ass in the game. You figure that would have given them ample time to calm the hell down. If it's one thing where it's a last-second play like Minnesota won the week before, then you're going crazy as you're leaving the stadium. Everyone's all excited. You're going nuts.
I agree.
You had three quarters to calm down. You won the game in the first quarter.
I mean, they were rowdy. So Case Keenum, Teddy Bridgewater, uncertain if the Vikings even want him to return in 2018. Do you believe, Carver High, that they won either one of them?
I'm not sure. I don't think so. To be quite honest.
If you had to take one of them, which one do you believe they want?
If it was me, if I was making the decision, I would want Bridgewater.
I would agree with that. I think that they want Bridgewater. They believe he's the better quarterback.
I'm
not sure that's the case, though.
I was waiting for it. I said it would either be last week, this week, or the Super Bowl, but that guy was eventually going to turn into a pumpkin, and he did it yesterday because he threw that pick. I know they got flooded after that, and their defense was terrible against the Eagles, but Keenum threw that pick. And that started it all. He got stripped for that one fumble. He did not play well, Case Keenum. And that was the Case Keenum
I was waiting all year for.
You're
right. And you had tweeted a bunch of pumpkins. I caught on to that yesterday. That was beautiful. When we come back, we'll talk about the Giants. They hired Pat Shurmur. Also, the story about Eli. Are they bringing him back? Are they bringing in Jack Del Rio to be the D coordinator? Steve Wilks got the job as the Cardinals head coach. I thought they were going to say Wilkow, the guy on TV, the cop. Mike Vrabel got the Titans head coaching job. Dick LeBeau is out, allegedly, as defensive coordinator. Do you think the Steelers should bring him back? Because they have never been the same since he left. And Todd Haley's going to be running the Browns offense into the ground, but it's already in hell. So at the top of the earth, it would be better than hell, right, if he got him up to the surface. And is Josh Rosen the obvious choice for the Browns at number one? And the Browns owner, Mike Brown, finally said he kept Marvin Lewis to provide continuity. I laughed today and thought, continuity what, losing? They never win, and they never win playoff games, and they keep that coach around. Pick up the phone and call us, 855-212-4CBS.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So another one of those bad secrets about Pat Shurmur, that he got the Giants gig, how these teams wait until these guys are done and their teams are out of it. Now we know he's going to take over the Big Blue, and he leaves the Vikings after their loss. Now he'll be in Mobile for the Senior Bowl. And then John Mara wants Eli back. Dave Gettleman wants Eli back. Eli wants to be back. Gettleman told Eli he wants him back. And Pat Shurmur was an Eli guy in his interview a couple of weeks ago. And he's just running with that. It looks like, sounds like that's what's going to happen. And then, of course, there's talk that Jack Del Rio could be their new defensive coordinator as well. What do you think, Mafia?
You know, it could be a bad omen for the Patriots in this Super Bowl. Nagy in Kansas City has a horrible game right before he gets hired with the Bears. Shurmur has a horrible game for the Vikings right before he gets hired by the Giants. Both those coordinators are leaving for jobs after the Super Bowl.
So what are you suggesting? That
the trend so far this year is just before you go get a big job, you suck in your playoff game.
Oh, so now you think the Patriots are going to suck because those two guys are leaving?
No, of course not.
The question is, how will they do? How will Belichick do without him? And I think the answer is he'll put two new clowns in there, and they'll get great jobs, and then they'll run with it and become the next two head coaches.
What did he do when Crennel and Charlie Weiss left?
Same thing.
What did he do the first time McDaniels left?
Same thing.
What did he do when Mangini left?
Same thing.
What's it matter when these two guys leave?
Nothing.
Doesn't matter.
Boom.
Bill O'Brien, too, Mafia just said. I mean, he, you know, he was there also. It doesn't matter who's there.
What did you think of the Steve Wilks hire in Arizona?
Who?
They hired Steve Wilks, the talk show host, Steve Wilkow. Was that his name?
Who is that? Oh, the guy from Jerry Springer?
Yeah. He's a new coach. I have no idea.
Well, the Giants interviewed that guy also.
Wasn't he with the Carolina?
Yes, he was with Carolina.
I've never heard of him ever.
He was a coordinator for a year.
I've never even heard of him when he was there.
It's an aggressive hire by Arizona. They're going.
What do you think of Vrabel going to the Titans?
I love it. I love Vrabel. I think he's great.
And do you think Dick LeBeau will retire finally?
Yes.
Todd Haley to the Browns. What'd you think of that?
You know what? I kind of like it, to be quite honest.
That guy gets, he's got nine lives.
I kind of like it. I
do you think they'll draft Josh Rosen, number one?
No.
Who do you think they'll take, Sam Darnold? No.
It's so far away. So much is going to happen between now and that draft. They'll find a way to screw it up.
So let's go to the phones. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone. Here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all at geico.com. Scott in Massachusetts on 98.5 The Hub.
Shack-a-doo.
Oh, shack-a-doo.
Let me tell you something. I work at a bar in Foxborough, Massachusetts. Every night on the way home, I listen to you. I sit in my car until 2 o'clock when I get home.
Sweet.
And listen to your takes.
I love it.
I cannot wait. Now, I just heard from the guy that answered the phone. Who answered the phone today?
That's your boy Carver High.
I said, will Pharrell be in Vegas for the Super Bowl? He said, yes, I will be in Vegas for the Super Bowl also. So I got to come and meet you. You're going to be at the D?
Yeah, of course. So here's the deal. Like, I've only said this 7 million times. Listen closely. So I'm at the D Monday through Friday next week live in the View Bar every night at 7, Vegas Strong Time. And then on Sunday the 4th, the day of the game, I'm having a bash at the downtown Las Vegas Event Center, which is directly across the street from the entrance to the D. And it is a gigantic bash, unequaled anywhere in North America. This is the best Super Bowl party anywhere, bar none, including Minneapolis, and it's free. Just show up, and you'll have the time of your life. They got everything you can imagine there. I mean, everything.
Scotty, tell Shannon Sharp to go work for the city of Philadelphia because they're going to have to call out the National Guard after the Pats beat them.
Why? What does he have to do with anything?
Shannon Sharp, remember his famous line? Call the National Guard. We're killing the Patriots. Well, tell them to call the National Guard because the Pats are going to kill the Eagles.
All right. I'll keep an eye on that. Show up at the party. I didn't think any of that was very funny. That's just me, though.
Not a strong finish there.
Kind of a swinging chopper to the pitcher. Just right off the plate. And the guy just came off the mound with a little tobacco in his mouth and just threw over to first.
Swing and a miss.
Listens every night, but had no clue I was going to be at the D. But he still asked me, are you going to be at the D? Really? Pat in Boston on the Hub. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, dude.
So I'm 23. You know, I went to UMass Amherst, had a blast. I've been a Patriots, Red Sox, all that since 01. But it's starting to feel like the Patriots aren't winning games. I don't know if I'm just numb to it or what, but it's all started against Atlanta last year. I was like numb. I'm like, all right, this is kind of getting ridiculous. You know what I mean? So what is it? Is it that we get calls? Do we get just like strange strings of momentum?
I don't think that it's because they're getting calls. I think all this stuff started today with Jacksonville suddenly complaining that the refs. The bottom line is that what happened was last year, let's be clear, Atlanta choked on a giant bone, okay? A giant dog bone. They got stuck in their throat. They choked. 25 up at the half, you lose. You suck. Then this year, what happened yesterday was you're up 20-10 in the fourth quarter, and you can't close the door. Blame yourselves. The Pats, once again, Tom Brady, boom, boom, two touchdowns, game over, Pats win, Pats go to another Super Bowl. So talking about how they're losing and everything, it's actually the exact opposite. They're winning. That's all they're doing is winning. They win. They find a way to win. That's it. Someone's got to win the game, and they always are the ones.
They're only, you know, 2 weeks away from their sixth Super Bowl. You know, what are we complaining about here?
Just
like what?
They're 10th and 6th in this dynasty.
The sixth, they're gonna win their sixth in 2 weeks.
Right.
I mean, this is, you know, what are we worried about here?
Scared to death. We're scared to death that they're chokers.
Are they losing the games or are they winning the games? Who cares? You're going to win again.
All they do is win. Now it sounds like you're going with the Patriots, Carver High.
Please. The green will be out Super Bowl Sunday.
You just did it not sound like he was going Patriots.
They always win. They always win, don't they?
They even win when they lose.
They always win.
Not when they play the Giants, my friend.
Giants twice. Do you like your new coach?
I don't know. They need players.
Sounds like you're really excited about
it. They need an offensive line. They don't have any offensive line.
I'm actually glad Jay brought that up. Are we done with the Coughlin stuff yesterday, saying that he was going to be a big part of that Jacksonville win?
Yeah, he had a lot to do with it.
How'd that go?
The playbook he gave Marone. That's
why I'm rooting for the Pats. The only team he can't beat is the Giants.
You're going to hear this Giants stuff for the
next
2 weeks
now. Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
That's all you're
going to hear. Go Pats, go.
Oh, God, what could be worse? Now you're cheering for him?
Hell yeah.
Well, he's not going to cheer for the Eagles.
They want to be the only team that beats Tom and Bill. They want to be the only
guys who
did it.
That's what it boils down to.
That's why the Giant
–
I've heard this multiple times
today.
That's
a fact.
The Giant fan is rooting for the Patriots because they want to be the only ones who beat
100%.
Them. I can live with that, though.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Seriously, is there anything better than PharrellOnTheBench.com? Honestly, I hit 13 of the last 16 playoff game bets, 81%. 81% in the playoffs. My God. Sign up now and get all the props for the showdown and mini. Another huge week in the NBA, college hoops, and NHL. Starts, tomorrow night. You got Boston and the Lakers in Lipstick City, Knicks at Golden State. Tomorrow night in college hoops, Clemson and Virginia, Kansas at Oklahoma and Norman. You get to see Trae Young play. I saw him over the weekend at 48 in that loss at Oklahoma State. He was unbelievable. Tomorrow night, Carolina and Pittsburgh in the NHL. Tampa's at Nashville. That's a great game right there. All-Star game is Sunday in Tampa. Get every game, every sport, every day, every pick. Boxing and MMA, too. We had another huge weekend in boxing and MMA picks. You got daily fantasy rosters every day. It's all happening at PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. Everybody's doing it. They just won't admit it. I wouldn't either. I don't know. They lost the game, the freshman at 48, Trey Young, in that Oklahoma loss at Stillwater over the weekend. He was 14 of 39, including 8 for 20 on threes. He made all 12 of his free throws. His 39 shots, 23-point attempts were both Big 12 records. None of his teammates scored more than 8 points. That's the problem, right? Like, he does everything. They do nothing. And then you got one guy does it all, nobody else does anything. They stand around watching him. And then when they're on the road in a tough game, what happens? They double and triple team him, and he can't score in the overtime, and they lose. We saw it twice in a week, right? Kansas, was it? Or no, it was at Kansas and then at Oklahoma State. Is that right? Is that about right? They're all over him. Or TCU, we've seen him. I mean, I want to see the can you find out? Look at the games real quick that he played. The 48, there was another loss in there as well where I saw him have a big game. He had like 40 points, and he lost. It's like, I get it. He's incredible. I think he's phenomenal. I love watching him. He gets his shot off like Steph Curry. Very quick release. Boom, he just shoots right in your face. But he, you know, he's losing these games. It was K-State in Manhattan, right? And then, Oklahoma State. Both of them were road games, right? So they all double and triple him and trap him, and he can't do it. And then the rest of them stand around missing layups and dunks. I've seen it. I've seen him actually doing it, losing, because nobody else can do anything on that team. That's what Lon Kruger's problem is. He's not, I mean, no offense to him. He's a good coach. But he's not getting anything out of anybody else. It's a one-man show, and you can beat him. Tomorrow night they got Kansas and Norman. They'll probably win by 10.
And we have seen guys in the past be like a one-man show and take their team to the Final Four. Or, I mean,
Danny Manning.
I mean, Melo got Syracuse all the way there.
That's right.
He had some help. He had some decent players around him. But we've seen usually the one guy by himself isn't going to get you far in the NCAA tournament when it comes to crunch time. Because like you said, you take that one guy away and good teams and good coaches will. Where are they going? Because the rest of those guys stink.
That's right. So let's talk about real quick Kevin Love. So they held a fiery team meeting in their practice facility locker room prior to their practice today. Several players challenged the legitimacy of Kevin Love's illness that led him to leave Saturday's loss to Oklahoma City early and then miss Sunday's practice. Several players were pushing for the Cavs management and coaching staff to hold Love accountable for leaving the arena before the end of the game Saturday and then missing Sunday's practice. The meeting was allegedly loud and intense, only calming down once Love spoke. There was a sense that the team was accepting of his explanation and that the airing out of issues could have a positive impact on what has become a fractured locker room. There's been blame for the Cavs struggles directed at everyone from Love to Isaiah Thomas to Lou and the front office, Dan Gilbert, etc. What does Dan Gilbert have to do with them losing? I mean, what? Is he the one that he writes the checks, right? But you're going to blame him because they lose every game? Are they blaming him because they lose 25-point leads? What are they blaming Kevin Love for? Because they didn't like that he left after the game? Or before the game was over and he was sick and then missed the next day of practice because he was sick? Or they just don't like him? What is the deal? Haven't we been down this road before with do the brothers like Kevin Love? I mean, has he not been a good player for them this year despite all their crappy games and their streaks of losing?
Well, they're questioning whether he was sick. I mean, what are we talking about here? Did he have the sniffles or did he? I mean, what's the story here with him?
I don't know how sick he was. I really don't, but I mean, do you really think their problems are because of Kevin Love?
Wouldn't you want him to leave if he was that sick so that he doesn't get the rest of the team sick?
I guess. I mean, didn't some chick show up at the SAG Awards with the flu? Some famous – oh, it was Nicole Kidman showed up with the flu and She said, I'm here tonight with the flu. I'm sorry, giving everybody the flu.
I can't watch those shows.
I don't watch them, but I did vote. I did the voting, so I keep getting my movies every year. I watched a bizarre movie over the weekend, too. One of them up for an Oscar, that Call Me By My Name or something. Is that what it was called? So the three stars, first star this week in the NHL, Nathan MacKinnon, 4-2 and 6 line, a pair of game-winning goals. They're on fire, Colorado. Second star, Connor Hellebuck, the Jets. They went 2-0-0, and he stopped 59 of 60 shots, the goalie, with a 0.48 goals against average. Nice. Third star, your favorite player, Brad Marchand of the Bruins. He was 2-5, 7 points, 4 games, including guiding the Bruins to a 3-0-1 week. There's your three stars. A look at the potential suitors for Evander Kane. Who do you think Evander Kane will go to? What about the Blue Jackets, maybe?
They could use him.
How about the Kings?
They could use him.
What about Vegas for a few months?
They could use him.
So those are interesting suitors. Bruce Sutter.
Vegas has a lot of stuff they could use to get him to. They have a lot of picks stocked up.
Real quick, Mafia, Fedor and Frank Mir will fight April 28th in Chicago at the Rosemont Horizon in Rosemont, Illinois, outside of the Windy City, and no one cares. Stipe and Daniel Cormier's wins. Tell me about Stipe's third title defense. He beat Ngannou, and DC beat some guy no one's ever heard of.
Yeah, Stipe owned him. I mean, he came in that first round, and Ngannou came in there throwing wild, throwing heavy, trying to just put him on his butt, and Stipe took a couple of shots, didn't go down, did a good job using that boxing, had the Golden Gloves background of moving his head around, so he didn't get a lot of them too hard to the head to take him out. And then after that, Ngannou was shot. And, you know, coming into that second round, you could see he was dead, and the rest of the fight was pretty much Stipe just taking him down or just taking him down and holding him against the cage as much as he could and just laying on him, making him carry that weight, tiring him out even more, giving him some, you know, some knees and some elbows to the body.
Giving him the business.
Just working him and just wearing him down. I mean, there was one time Ngannou caught him good in, I think, the fourth, so he had to worry about him a little bit more. But other than that, he just dominated him. I could have scored it at 50-42 easy. That's how bad it was.
So what about your boy Chael Sonnen, Charcoal, with the win over he beat
Rampage
Jackson.
Terrible fight. I mean, Rampage got him down once early and knocked him around a little bit. And after that, Sonnen got him down and just laid on him, laid him prey.
So did you watch the other one? What was it,
McDonald
fight?
Beat up Lima, took the belt there. It was a really close fight. The scoring was terrible, but he won it in my book 3-2. The first two rounds just did his normal thing where he takes you down and kind of bores you, and then Lima actually caught him towards the end of that third round and put him down, got some shots on him, and then beat him up some more in the fourth. Kind of beat him up all throughout the fight on his leg. His front leg had a huge hematoma on it. It was like he was growing a second leg on there. And the fifth round, McDonald got him down again and held him down. But I gave respect after the fight. You know, a lot more mature than he usually is. Said Lima was the toughest guy he's ever fought. It's like he gave me everything. I feel like a true champion now because that's the toughest guy I ever fought.
There you go. Terry Bradshaw made me want to puke when I was watching that Eagles game. Did you see at the end of the game when he led them in singing Fly, Eagles, Fly? As a Steeler fan, was there anything worse ever than seeing that guy singing that fight song against the dreaded Eagles? I mean, as Steelers fans, they've never liked Philly, let alone the Eagles.
The only thing worse is the show that he does.
Oh, is that right? What show?
The show, that Better Late Than Never on NBC, that him and Henry Winkler and Foreman and
Is that actually a show or was that a movie?
No, that's an actual show. They did, like, this is the second season they're doing it.
Is it bad?
It's terrible.
Is that right? I didn't know any of that. So Boogie Cousins has the 10th 40-point, 20-rebound, 10-assist game in history. Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Elgin Baylor, Oscar Robertson are the only others that have done it. He went off tonight in that game, and they won in double overtime. So once again, 44, 24, and 10 with four steals or something like that and one or two block shots. Very impressive. I got to be really quick with Chris in Baltimore. You're on CBS Sports Radio. I got 10 seconds.
You're talking about New England being dominant. Baltimore's 2-2 against them. They won by a combined 34, and they lost by a combined 7 points in the two losses.
Yeah, listen, I won't deny
all
that.
All at New England.
The Raven, and they did it at, and they did it at Foxborough, no doubt. And the Giants, there was a big difference. The Giants beat them in the Super Bowl. So you beat them in title games, right? Impressive. Giants beat them in Super Bowls. More impressive. We'll see you tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern for Carver High and Mafia. I'm Pharrell. Get the I Am Scott Pharrell app in the App Store for you tonight.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.